I was in Twin Falls the past couple of days doing some outreach ministry work with the Mormons. Ryan and I, we drove out Wednesday and Thursday.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
This one lady, she really irate at me. She got out of the car and came up to me about 3 feet away. Why are you doing this? What are you doing? You're persecuting them. I'm just standing out here with a sign. That's persecution? So it was a parking attendant. And he's quoted in 1 Timothy 6:16. He said, I don't want to debate with you. I said, well, the Bible says. I said, what do you do with that? And he says, nothing you can say will change my testimony about Joseph Smith being a true prophet. Hey, no touchy on the grass. Don't touch the grass. Stay off the grass. Amen. Don't use the Mormon bathrooms.
Are there any other books you believe need to be in the Bible?
Yeah, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenant, Pearl of Great Price.
Why is it that we've got so many denominations that are just moving towards heresy?
Because we are trying to become God ourselves.
Wake the neighbors, get the word out.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Faith and Reason time, as usual, and I am your host, Matt Slick. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good today, and if you're feeling pretty good and you want to have a dialogue, give me a call, 877-207-2276, and we can talk. If you want to get in via Skype, just type in Faith and Reason with no spaces, just Faith and Reason, and we can get in via Skype. I use that all the time. We had a caller yesterday from Uganda. So Uganda, we've had him from Wales, I see Scotland, I believe, England, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. Pretty cool, pretty cool. The internet's pretty great. Hey, this is an apologetic show, for those of you who don't know. And by the way, for the podcasters, it is October 19th, 2011. And what we do here is debate, teach, talk, do all that kind of stuff. The Festival of the Relics. What the heck is that? I'm listening to or watching in the chat room. There's a chat room. People come in the chat room on the Karmic website. Excuse me. And then they type things in. And someone said, I wonder if Matt has heard of the Festival of the Relics. I don't know what that is. It's got to be a Catholic thing. But there's so many things I don't know about. Sorry, but that's the truth. I mean, I don't know. People ask me these questions. I don't know. I make it up as I go. Of course, that's what people are going to do. They're going to take that excerpt, and they'll say, see, Matt says he makes it up as he goes. And so anyway, what we do here is we debate, teach theology, kind of get into some good stuff. What? Oh, from Peru. We got a guy from Peru. Cool, Colin. And folks, we'll get to him in a second. By the way, today's Thursday, right? Is today Thursday already? Wednesday. I thought that it was Thursday. Messed up. On Friday, I'll be teaching a Bible study. And if you're interested, it's out in Nampa. Real easy to get to. Just 3/4 of a mile north of the freeway. Just get off on exit 36. 3/4 of a mile north of the freeway. Left-hand side is the Crossing Church. Bang. You're right there. There it is. And formerly Saul in the chat room. Yes, that's right. I'm not all-knowing. My wife could tell you that. I think I know it all sometimes. That's a problem. Oh, well, let's see. I guess that's about it. I got some other stuff. I went to the gym, I worked out, and I met a guy. I might talk about that a little bit, United Pentecostal stuff. Let's get to Eric from Peru. Hey, Eric. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing all right, buddy. Doing all right, man.
Hey, I just had some general questions about spiritual dry times. I know you were in a, you said you were in a spiritual dry time for five years.
I had a dry spell that lasted a few years. I mean, I still was aware of God, and I knew he was working, but it's just, I didn't feel that ultra closeness kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I'm in one right now. And I was wondering if I could just ask some questions.
Sure.
What do you believe was the cause of your spiritual dry time?
Well, it could be several causes. One is my own sin, my own lack of putting God first. It could be arrogance, pride. It could be all kinds of things. It could be that God is purposely withdrawing that intimacy, that sense of intimacy and closeness in order to teach me a lesson, in order to prepare me for something else. It could be all kinds of things. It could be a combination of various things as well. So it's kind of hard to say.
All right.
There's no direct sin and stuff. Just normal. There's normal sin, but if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. How do you believe that God used your dry time in your walk with him?
Oh, it's very easy. You see, this is what I tell people when they have dry times. When you're going through a desert and you don't feel the comfort, you don't feel that presence, you don't feel the things you want to feel, what happens is you get stripped. You get reduced because you appeal to this, you try that. You know, I'll read my Bible 10 times a day. You know, I'll fast for, 8 weeks. I'll tie to the church. I'll pray, whatever. Nothing changes. Okay, ask me if there's, Lord, what sin have I got? What sin have I got? You know, tell me what sins I've got. You know, a few extras come to mind and you stop them, you repent of them, you confess them, whatever it is, still dry. Lord, what is it? How come I don't hear an answer? Lord, I don't sense you. What is it? What's going on? This goes on and on and on like this. After a while, you kind of give up. You say, well, if this is what you want, okay. It's all right. But in the process, you kind of have to do self-examination. One of the things that occurs to me is, what is my faith in? Is it in the sensation of God's presence, or is it in the truth of his word and the person of Christ? And so what I find is that through the dry times, what I do is I learn to depend on him more and not my feelings, because I've had to increase my doctrinal understanding of some things. Does it mean I'm not saved if I don't feel God? Does it mean I'm not saved if I don't feel that convictions of sin sometimes? Does it mean that God doesn't love me if I'm in a desert? Where is he? It doesn't mean any of that. And so what I did and what I have done, what I continue to do, is simply say, what does the word say? Who is Jesus? Do I trust in him? And is he alone sufficient by faith, no matter what I feel, no matter what happens? And the answer, you come out of this, you go, yes, it's him. And sometimes you can't learn that unless you're in a desert.
Amen. Okay, now a bit more specific of a question. When you actually sinned, did you usually, during your dry time, did you feel like a deep heartfelt guilt, or was it just sort of a more intellectual knowledge?
More intellectual knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, because I felt times when conviction's horrible. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't, you know, during that period, there wasn't just some pretty bad convictions here and there. But, you know, during this intimate time with God, you get the sensation of more intimacy. And actually, you know, during this dry time, I'll tell you this quick story, because it might be an interesting story. I was involved in a car accident situation when I was younger. And I fled the scene. And, you know, it'd been gone, it was passed. And then within a year, I was involved in a very bad auto accident where the other person fled the scene. And I was hospitalized, intensive care. It was pretty bad. And I've kind of considered us even, so to speak. Well, about 3 years ago, towards the end of the dry spell, this sensation to take care of it came up. And it was during it, and like, what the heck? I had this feeling that I needed to take care of it. So this went on for months, and I finally just gave into it. And it wasn't like a conviction of sin. It was take care of it. It's like, I got to take care of it, got to deal with it. And it really was to the point where, okay, you know, it was bad. It wasn't like this warmth of God. It wasn't this super conviction of sin. It was just take care of it. Real subtle, constant. I ended up talking to my wife and saying that I'm going to call the police in a certain area and the place and the whole bit, and I'm going to tell them what happened. And if they tell me to come on down to where to go where it was, or, you know, that I turned myself in and they'd arrest me. Because it was a bad thing. I mean, I was in a street race and it was an accident and I, you know, kind of left. Okay. Not very good thing. Anyway, so I called this detective up and I said, here's my best information I've got, this place, this time. I don't even know if this is the right area, but this is the best information I remember. And he told me, he said, look, man, don't even bothering us with this. First of all, he says, I don't know if you're telling me the truth. He said, I'm not saying you're not, but we don't know. He said, second, all the records from back then have been changed and are down in the bottom of a basement someplace. And what detective are you going to get to say, hey, I think I'll go downstairs in the basement or whatever department it is and look for months through it, trying to find something, and then see if you can find people involved. Then you can see if you can do this, and then see if, you know, when they've got things happening all the time. He says, no one's going to want to do anything. No one's going to prosecute. No one's going to want to do anything. Statute of limitations might have gone away. Whatever. The guy just said, don't even worry about it. He says, no one's going to do anything. No one's going to care.
Okay.
And I felt a release at that point. But see, the thing is, I was willing to do whatever it took, simply out of the issue and the act of obedience to God and the submission to his will, whether or not I was feeling good or not feeling good. And it happened during the end of the, you know, toward the end of this dry time.
Okay.
And it was just an issue of faith to trust him beyond my ability to comprehend. And I did. And I think maybe that was part of the reason for stuff.
Interesting. So I guess when we're closer with God, because of his holiness, I guess we're more sensitive to our sins when we sin against him then.
Absolutely true.
So
the closer you get to God, the more you're aware of your sinfulness.
Yeah,
absolutely, that is true. You know, for every step you get closer, you know, you feel one degree of suffering and pain. You know,
yeah, whatever. Okay, I guess that makes a lot of sense. Why usually I don't feel like a deep guilt. I'm not saying I shouldn't. I still think I should feel that guilt. But
well, there's another thing. It could be that what's happening is that we're being hardened by our own sin and not feeling the conviction.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a concern.
What verses of scripture, if any, do you think helped you in this dry time?
Reading the Psalms and just, you know, knowing that Jesus said, I'll never leave you and forsake you. You know, things like that. Just trusting his word, because I've had more than one dry time. You got to realize that what I do for a living is, how do I say it? I got in the spiritual ghetto and I hang out with all the crap that's everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
And how would you like to, you know, live in a ghetto where everything's just horrible and then come out smelling good, looking good, and being unaffected? How would you like to try that? Well, I wouldn't recommend it for anybody, and it's cost me. It's had a lot of deleterious effects. I mean, it's hidden harmful effects. I think it's harmed my family. I think it's harmed my spiritual walk. I think I've blown it in a lot of areas. But I didn't know any of this going in, but I can look back and see and go, oh my goodness, look what I blew it here, here, and here. But you know, I'm called to do this, and I thrive in the struggle, and I had to be put together to be able to do this. But, you know, so, anyway, during the stuff, you know, you've got to be strong, and it gets to the point of simply trusting the word of God. It comes down to that. What does God say? What do I believe it, or do I not believe it? So.
All right. Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you, Matt.
Are you going through a dry time?
Yep. Well, I'm not that worried.
If you send me $9.95, then I can send you a prayer cloth that I wiped my forehead with, and you can touch it, and that usually helps.
Oh boy, can you sign it too?
I can sign it, but that's actually $5, and then if I work out at the gym and use it, that's $25 total.
Oh boy!
And stuff like that. So you know, we want to make sure.
I don't know if that'd get all the way through the mail. I'm pretty sure they'd have to burn that at some point along there.
They probably would burn it. You know, and just goofing around and talking like that makes me feel horrible because it is so. It's so ultimately, in my mind, evil to do that kind of a thing. You know, it's just the charlatans on TV who do this. Man, I tell you, I would never take money for anything like that. You know, I would never do that. I would never, never do that.
It's like the magic healing water from the Jordan River.
Yeah. You know, I mean, geez. It's just there's so much charlatans. I'd like to say there's so much heresy, so little time. I just wish people would, I wish Christians would stop sitting on their butts, stop whining, complaining that the church service isn't perfect. You know, start doing some serious studying, you know, on a slow pace, but seriously study and believe God's word and not this mamby-pamby crap that comes off TV.
Amen. And the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You really need to go out there and fight for the Lord.
Well, let me tell you, you know, that's a good thing. I'm going to say this to people. I work very hard. I'm not trying to, you know, play my violin, woe is me. But I'm just going to say this, that I do work very hard. And I work at least 6 days a week for hours every day. An 8-hour day on any particular day is vacation. And, I mean, I'm on the phone coming in. I'm often on the phone coming out of the radio station. I had a meeting yesterday at 6:30. It was on for another hour. And, you know, when I got home, and that was a 12-hour day. You know, and I'm just saying I work very hard. And I'm working now on a refutation of an argument for the transcendental argument for God's existence. A guy named Frank Turek, he's a Christian apologist, contacted me and said, hey, you've seen this. So I'm working on a refutation. It takes hours and hours to do the logical analysis of things. You know, and working on my computer, I had a little computer issue. And, you know, just I'm constantly working, constantly working. We're trying to coordinate advertisers, a new site redesign, trying to coordinate a meeting with Living Waters down in Southern California. We're trying to coordinate the absorption of other ministries in the early stages of this so that other ministries can use the 501c3 of CARM and the scope that CARM is going to get. We're trying to reach out and raise funds in order to get an office and get staff members. I did research on cameras last night. I put up a camera on the wish list, hoping to get someone who could basically $3,000 and buy a camera so that we can start doing videos, good videos. I mean, I'm researching how to build the devices necessary to make camera work easy, you know, like those rollers across the tracks, those devices you put in your hips and so when you walk, the camera's steady. I'm researching how to do this stuff because I want to start producing real one-hour documentaries.
That should not be a rare thing to hear from Christians.
You mean
that? It should not be a rare thing to hear that that's how much work that we're putting forth for the Lord.
Oh, yeah, it's like that, yeah. I mean, I'm having to look at the idea. Let me just – I'll tell you why I'm saying all this. I'm having to look at the idea of how to build stuff in order to save money while I've already looked, you know, paid to get video tutoring on how to shoot videos, on how to edit. I can edit now, but I've got a guy in North Dakota – believe it or not, who's really good at editing, and I'm just giving it to him. We've got to also figure out an FTP, file transfer protocol system, to get these humongous files loaded up so that he can download them, because they're huge, and we don't want to overburden the CARM amount of allotment we get each day. I mean, there's a lot of traffic, you know, and so, I mean, everything takes research. I got to do it all. Basically, I got to do it all. We got two tech guys I'm working with now, trying to do a redesign and modify some other stuff. I got my brother, who's a computer programmer. He's interested in doing some stuff for CARM, and it's not detail. I got another guy I was in contact with. I got to recontact him about doing an app for the phones for CARM. We've got, you know, stuff in audio areas you want to get into. There's so many ideas. There's so many things, articles I got to work on. And I'm constantly working. I've got a book I'm posting, another book I'm posting. I got 4 books sitting that I need to finish. And that's not even counting the family training course I got to work on. Hmm. What I'm trying to do is work. And I'm actually eating better and working out better for 2 reasons. One, so I can live longer. Well, 3 reasons. I don't like being sick, and I want to go to the hospital, don't want to die. But so I can live longer and serve God, and also I can help my wife, because I have a feeling in the next 10 years or so, she might be bound to a wheelchair because she's got osteoporosis that's off the chart. Her bone density is so bad that it's off the chart. She breaks things, her ribs, by by moving sometimes in the wrong way. So I got to take care of it. And, you know, and there's other issues. And, you know, got kids, got to pay braces, you know, and all, you know, and okay. So anyway, I'm just saying, trying to raise the money to get an office and hire a staff so I can get some of this off my plate so I can really do stuff. And so, you know, Christians are working. They go to their work. They come home. They rarely tithe because only less than 10% of Christians tithe. And even fewer will support ministries. Now, we've got a few people who are supporting the ministry. Most of what we have is coming in from the advertisers. But if yesterday, Carm got 54,000 page views on the entire website. 54,000 times the site was accessed. And it was accessed by roughly 24,000 people. We have an average of 15,000 people coming back a day to the website returning. What we ask is $5 a month commitment, that someone would go in and sign up for $5 a month. That's a couple of coffees. And we asked that so that if we could have 1,000 people doing that, that's not much. 1,000 Christians. Then we could actually hire somebody full-time and get an office with that. Seriously. And I wouldn't have to work 60-hour weeks and try and do everything. We could get people. We want to start producing videos. And I mean serious video work and teaching. We want to do stuff like get seminars going in different parts of the country. I also want to, actually, we're talking about having it here in January, the first one, an apologetics conference where people fly in and I teach them for a week. This will be an experiment, the first one. We've got people who in the chat room even who want to do this. And they want to fly in, maybe 5 or 10 people. It looks like there's agreement to come in. And then they'll give me constructive criticism. And what I want to do is develop a week-long apologetics course and with a manual people can learn from. And then another course where they come in and they learn and they'll be certified to teach. And then start having CARM certify people to teach Bible studies, apologetics, and things like that. And have seminars. And then branch out into the youth. We've got some ideas. We've got so many things we want to do. And I'm just saying all this, that the problem is I have to do basically everything. And I mean, my wife is now working. She gets paid for a few hours and works a lot of hours just doing the books. Not the books as balancing the book. We have somebody else do that. But she enters in all the data entry, makes phone calls. She does all kinds of stuff. She makes orders from people who call up and this and that. She's helping a great deal. We've got Diane, who's in New Jersey. If she got paid what she deserves, she'd be making $60 a year. And she makes, I think, minimum wage or below that, considering how much time she really puts in. Of course, she's contracted for a certain amount, and she chooses her hours. But we got her. We got a guy in Portland, Oregon, who's got a full-time job, and he's working on CARM, raising funds and doing advertising and things like this. We've got a guy in Salt Lake City. I'm just saying we've got these people. We've got another guy in Ohio who's come on board, and he's an awesome guy. And we're coordinating. We were on the phone with him last night for an hour. I'm just saying, I am so steeped in work and so many things that, you know, we are doing so much to try and reach out in different ways to get out there, to reach out for as many people as possible. And it's frustrating because so few Christians will even lift a finger to go to the website and sign up for $5 a month. And
sounds like you need another day in the week.
I need another week in the week. Seriously. I mean, I heard about, some guy told me about a sleep schedule you can go on where you
sleep. Oh, yeah.
4 hours on, you sleep for a half hour. 4 hours on, you sleep for a half hour in order to try and reclaim more time.
The five periods of 20-minute naps as well.
Right. And I'm thinking about that, but I have to learn more about it because, you know, I don't know if I could do that. But it's like the work is, there's that much work to do. It's that serious. There's that much going on. Plus, we want to expand the radio show. I was offered a TV show on National Religious Broadcasting about 3 years ago for free. All I had to do was produce a 28-minute show. I didn't have the manpower. I didn't have the time. Didn't have the equipment. Now I have the equipment, but I don't have the manpower. I mean, I just set up everything. I work out of a large room in my home, and no complaints. God's really blessed us. But mm-hmm. when you have to set everything up and then down yourself, make sure everything's right, set it all up, do the editing, do the filming, do the transfers of the stuff, do the cutting for this and that, writing the scripts out, making everything right. That's just for one show. You know, and then you've got phones ringing. People are calling up saying, I need to talk to you about this or that. People just don't have any idea how utterly difficult it is to do this job. But at the same time, I love doing it, and it's a joy to do it, and God's equipped me to do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm you know, take this opportunity, I haven't done this for a long time, to say that if there are Christians out there, and I'm not saying, hey, if you're a student, you know, don't sweat it. You know, you don't have it, you don't have it. Don't worry about that. But I'm just saying, you know, if you're doing okay and you have two cups of coffee a month to spare, maybe you could go to the CARM website and sign up for a contribution and help support this ministry, because then you could be partaking in a way of distributing information literally all over the world. The videos on CARM have been watched hundreds of thousands of times. The Spanish version of CARM is now reaching the Latin American continent community, and it was starting off really low, and it's starting to get to 25,000 page views a week, you know, and it's moving up. That's a lot of people that are seeing it, and it's growing, and this guy's working down there. He's a great guy. We're supporting him. In fact, the truth is, Ryan, who used to work with me, this guy is going to seminary, has his own shoe business. He literally has his own shoe business. And he does that, and he's going to seminary for his second degree, and this guy is paying the salary for our guy in Colombia, Bogota, out of his own pocket. Carlos. I mean,
Carlos, sí.
Carlos, Guirabara, sí. Él es el hombre, sí. And you know, that's it's just people don't realize only a few really do the hard work. And then they complain when I say, could you please support us? Oh, it's not for free? I say, come here for a week. Stay with me. See if the workman is worthy of his hire. See if the workman's worthy of his hire. You go to a job and you work your rear off. Do you do it for free? And the minister works hard and you expect him to do it for free. And that's how it is. It's, you know, I have this philosophy. When I talk to Christians, you know, I'll say, you know, for example, you do an app, and it's never happened yet. No one's come through with an app. Everybody keeps failing and keep dropping the ball. We had offers for years now, and we tell you, I work with it, you know. And each time I say to them, look, how much do you want to charge? I bring it up. I say, look, the workman's worthy of his hire. You have a family to take care of. What would it cost? And if we can come to an agreement, I'm not talking about $20. I'm talking about maybe it might be $1,000. I don't know. What would be good? And I bring it up because I don't like the idea of, hey, we're Christians. Let's just work for free. No, I'm sorry. I got to pay the bills. I got kids who have braces. My wife has medical problems. I got lights to turn on. And we're trying to expand this stuff, this ministry, so that others can benefit in other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. It's extremely difficult, extremely time-consuming. And I got to say this. I thank the Lord God that he's given me the ability, the intelligence, the desire to be able to do it, and the health. I'm 54, and the biggest problem I've got is a ringing in both of my ears, which I pray that it would go away.
It is
absolutely horrible all the time. I don't have any joint problems. I got a bad back because I was born with a deformed bone, and I can't do sit-ups. I have to sit a certain way. But other than that, I am so blessed. At 54, I can sprint to and from my car. Not a problem. I jog here and there. I run up and down the stairs. Or I run up the stairs. I don't run down. It's too easy to get wiped out. Run up the stairs at my house all the time. I'm very blessed by God. And so I want to live as long as possible to serve him. And I think that people could join in the effort and the work if they would just simply support us so that we can do what they're not able to do. And I don't mean that in a mocking way. You know, They're not gifted and called in that area. I am. Partake with us. Support us.
Well, if you have an opportunity for me to do just, I don't know, answer emails or something, I would be glad to do that. And later on, when my Spanish proficiency has improved, I'd be glad to help translate pages for you.
Entonces puedes ayudar, Carlos, si gustarías. Pero es necesario, sí. Pero primero necesito, necesitas enseñar. Or actually, better yet, need to answer some questions. I test people. They call me up, and I quiz them theologically, and about 90% fail.
All right.
Yep. I say, tell me what the hypostatic union is. Tell me what the communicatio idiomatum is. What's justification? Differentiated between sanctification. What do you say when this person says this? Okay. What's the priesthood of all believers? I ask them questions. They're like, well, I've never heard of this stuff. Okay. What's the law of non-contradiction? And they go, man, I didn't know. I said, you need all this stuff to answer emails. This is an apologetics ministry, and we get people calling up with all kinds of different questions.
Yeah.
We got one guy named Matt. His name's Matt. They think we're the same Matt. We're not. And he does the Mormon stuff. He knows more about Mormonism than I do, and which is fine. And
is that
I just,
possible?
Oh, yeah, heck yeah. And we just send our emails to him. We want somebody who can do Islam. We want somebody, you know. I mean, I can answer all the questions. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it's better to have an expert just get their hands on it.
Yeah, he loves doing Mormonism. You know, I love atheism and Roman Catholicism. Atheism's so easy to deal with. It's nothing.
But, Roman Catholicism, like, it's...
Oh, yeah, it's easy. I got a bunch of quotes. Just here, you know, here, quote. Yeah, deal with this, you know. But, anyway, I just took a time out because, you know, this radio show, for example, has no advertisements on it. I have even offered two people, one's a Christian, one's not a Christian, to come in here and do an ad, and I'll play it for free on the radio just because I want to help them. One guy's at a gym. In fact, I'm going to do a plug for him. The guy's name is Jay, and he's a Christian. And he owns Genesis Fitness there in Nampa, which is just north of the freeway off of exit 36, about a mile. And nice. I work out there. And he's struggling to make it. And he's a godly man. He's huge. He can bench 8 million pounds, you know. And he's just struggling to make it. And he helps people. He's a gentle giant. And I say, come on down. I'll do an ad. I'll run it for free. My martial arts instructor, I'm taking the Israeli-style Krav Maga just because I want to stay in shape and protect my family and, you know, whatever. And plus, it's just fun. And I said to the guy, hey, come on down, you know, and I'll be glad to put an ad on for free just so you get more people in because he's doing a great service. And I pay for 1 hour, and he often does an hour and a half. The guy's a great guy. You know, and I just like to help people because God has given things to me and I want avenues to help them. Well, the whole thing is, even though I pay for all the airtime on this show, there's a little bit of support. There's about $100 a month in support that comes in from people. And that's it. And that's nowhere near enough to cover it.
How much, if you don't mind sharing, about how much more would you like to see? Like, how much does it cost to run it?
Let's just say we would need $1,000 a month extra, basically, to kind of get it on even another station.
Wow.
It costs money.
Mm.
And so we provide this for free with no advertisers. And yet, people take it for granted, and they listen, and the podcasters enjoy it. And it's free. And your podcaster out there, I'm not saying, you know, you owe up, pony. No. This is for free. Only if people feel led of God to support, that's all I'm saying. I'm very careful about not trying to guilt whip anybody. I just inform people about the need. And if they want to help and they feel led to, they'd first pray about it. And, you know, talk to your husband, your wife, if you're married, whatever, and make a decision. But that's it. You know, it's just the idea of here's the information. Help me work my butt off for the glory of God, to do the things I'm called to do that you can't. And I don't mean it in a derogatory manner. You know, I can't do the things that others do. I would help them. And that's what I try and do. I offer people things to help them. And
so,
go ahead.
Do you think sometimes there's sort of a temptation to sort of really become more of a workaholic and place that at a higher level than yes. God in your life sometimes?
Yep, absolutely. Yep, that's number one struggle is the problem of idolatry, of doing karm so much that I put God on the back burner. Mm-hmm. That's the number one struggle I have. So last night, you know, I'm praying, talking to the Lord, you know, I go to bed, I pray and stuff. And it's the number one problem I have. I would just beg people to pray for me in this, because it is so easy to get caught up in all of it. It is. We fall in our strength as well as our weaknesses. This is all just the fact. That I'm very open, very transparent about all of this. It's just the way it is. Okay.
All right. Well, I think that answers all my questions about spiritual dry time and then some.
Okay. All right, man.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Hasta luego, hombre.
Ciao.
Okay. We'll see ya. Well, that was Eric from Peru. And I got to practice my Spanish. Actually, today, I was at that very gym. And this guy was meandering outside looking. And I said, hey, I know the owner. So I said, he wasn't there. I said, hey, need any help? And he comes in. I started talking Spanish with him. And I could tell you Spanish. And it says, yeah, you know, the guy's a great guy, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, escorted him out and stuff. And then this other guy working out in the gym, and he heard me speaking Spanish. So he starts talking to me in Spanish. So I'm like, oh. And it turns out he's a United Pentecostal pastor. Denies the Trinity, baptism necessary for salvation. Really nice guy. We shook hands, we're smiling and going back and forth and talking in Spanish and English. And so, you know, I could talk about that tonight if we had time, about what UPC actually teaches. But anyway, you know, and I even have my shirt on. You know, as atheism, the ultimate in suicide, and he was looking at it, and yeah, UPC's bad. But at any rate, always want to witness for Jesus. Anyway, hey, let's get to the phone. Boy, I've been blabbing. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Alex. Hey, Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing all right, man, doing all right. Where are you from in California?
I called you about... This is my third time already from Wilmington.
Wilmington, okay.
In LA.
All right, sorry, man. I got a lot of callers from all over.
No, I know.
That's all right.
No, just a quick question, because, you know, I grew up Pentecostal and stuff, and Halloween is, like, taboo, you know. It's you don't even think about it, you know, because, you know. But, now my pastor, you know, he celebrates it, you know, not a big deal. And, you know, I just wanted to know your take on it, because I'm still, like, on the fence on, they grew up hearing about, you know, the origins of Halloween, and, you know, but I don't know. So, I mean, what is your take on it?
Well, I'm going to be careful how I say what I say here.
Mm-hmm.
That people need to behave in a manner consistent with the scriptures and their own conscience. You can behave in a manner consistent with your conscience that's also not consistent with the scriptures. So someone can believe something's wrong, but it not really be wrong. Or believe it's right and not really be right. Now that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, theologically, are we free to be able to celebrate Halloween? And the answer is yes, we are as Christians. Are we free not to celebrate it? Yes, that's true. Are we free to celebrate Christmas? Yes, or not Christmas? Well, Hallow's Eve is what it really originally was, which occurred on October 31st at the end of, I think it was at the end of summer, summer solstice or something like that. It's been a long time. And so it has a pagan origin. Now, can we celebrate something that has a pagan origin? Well, yes. But we're not celebrating the paganness in it, but the origin, what it represents. Now, for example, Christmas. Well, Jesus was most probably not born on December 25th. It was to do with the winter solstice stuff. And the Roman Catholic Church early on adopted that as a day, trying to absorb it instead of adopt something new. And so people will take a Christmas tree and put it in their house. Well, that has some origins in paganism.
Right.
But can Christians do that? Well, yeah, they can. So what I do is I try and teach them. I say, you know, look, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about the freedom we have in Christ to be able to eat meat sacrificed to demons. He actually says we can. So there were temples, and they would have blood sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and to their pagan gods. And then they would go and sell that meat in the marketplace. Well, could a Christian in good conscience eat it? The answer was, Paul himself said, yes, you can. But, he said, for conscience sake, if it's going to stumble somebody else, don't do it. And if your own conscience has stumbled, don't do it.
He said,
but we're free. This has to do with an issue of maturity in Christ. Now, if I say, well, I'm mature enough in Christ to be able to X, Y, Z, it sounds boastful and arrogant. But I'm not trying to say that that's the case. It's just that the position I understand, the position I believe in, is that, yes, I'm free to be able to have candy at the front door, and when kids come around, I give them candy. And maybe put tracks in there. And have my own kids dress up and go to a Halloween thing. I will not let them dress up in anything demonic, of course. And not that they would want to, but it, you know, there's certain borderlines. You know, no, I'm sorry, not going there. You know, and if they want to go to a Halloween party, I'm going to say, tell me what's going to happen. Who's going to be there? What are you going to be doing? You know?
Right.
And if it's just all innocuous or just having fun dressing up, that's fine. You know, they get to dress up like a whatever and go be whatever. Go have fun. Okay?
Right.
And so, but some people would say, no, Matt, that's celebrating the demonic. No, it's not. But if you believe it is, then you're obligated to not do it. But you're not obligated to condemn me in my freedom.
Right.
Because just because it has a pagan origin doesn't mean the thing itself is bad. It's called the genetic fallacy. You know, there's a lot of mistakes Christians make. There's the Moroni 8:18 issue where it says in the Book of Mormon that there's only one God. And so Christians will quote Moroni 8:18 in the Book of Mormon, and other Christians will say, you can't do that because it's the Book of Mormon. But well, wait a minute. The Book of Mormon agrees with monotheism. Mormonism doesn't. The Book of Mormon does. You know, I'll explain that another time. And so people will get these knee-jerk reactions to things. So, are we free to celebrate Halloween? Yes, if you're mature enough in Christ to know that you're free in Him, and also included in that, you're not celebrating anything pagan. If you're just enjoying the holiday of dressing up and having fun, if that's all it is. But if in any way you're celebrating anything demonic, then you're in sin and you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, growing up, so to me, it doesn't bother me, you know, but my wife, you know, she's Mexican, and November 1st is, you know, Dia de los Muertos. So, you know, it ties in so closely with them that it's like a little worse for my wife, you know. Like,
was that
Halloween, Dia de los Muertos, Dia de
Dead. Oh, Dia de Dead, that's
November
right.
1st.
I didn't hear you, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, Dia de los Muertos. So, it's worse for the Mexicans, you know.
Yes, like, it is.
Oh, we do Halloween, and that's so close tied together for them. And me, I'm Puerto Rican, so it's like we don't do the whole Dia de los Muertos thing. We never done that.
Porque es malo. It's bad.
So for us, it's like I grew up here on Halloween, whatever, and I'm a whatever. But my wife's a little more just because of the tie in with the.
Well, then,
November 1st holidays.
Then you shouldn't do it, man. You should not do it. You should guard your wife and just tell her you love her and, you know, that, honey, if you think it's a bad thing in any way, well, you know what? Well, we're not going there. We are not going there. That's the way it would be. It wouldn't be a problem. Would not be a problem.
Yeah, like my pastor, he does it. He's like, but he told my wife, he's like, no, hey, if it's a conscious thing, don't do it. I understand. You know, and he's very cool about it because he's like, you know, like they do little parties, but he didn't even invite us. You know, he was like, don't worry about it. You know, it has nothing to do with church. You know, you don't have to come. That, you know, which is cool. But I just wanted to know a little bit, you know, more of the origin, I guess, because, you know, to be honest, sadly, a lot of stuff I grew up hearing, I'm learning that a lot of it is either wrong or miscommunicated. You know what I mean? So I was like, I wonder if even the origin that I heard was wrong. which is is pretty accurate to what you were saying. So I was like, all right, at least I learned something right.
Yeah, it's something to be careful about. And this is a debatable issue, and I'm not advocating people just use, you know, God's grace as a license to sin. We certainly don't want that. But the fact is that we do have certain freedoms in Christ, and this is just one of the things that Paul himself actually teaches. And we need to advocate having freedom.
Right.
So, you know, and know what that means, you know, so it's, but we don't want to misuse it at the same time.
Right. Yeah. All right, cool. I got another, do you have somebody on the line? Or?
Yeah, we do, but really fast, go ahead. I'll make it really fast.
I was listening to a podcast, and, you know, I'm a podcaster pretty much. And you were saying something about if you have any ideas, email. And
I
emailed you something yesterday, which, I don't know if I explained it well enough, but it's about the, I was thinking if you could, like, once every, you know, once a month or once every other week, like, if you could, like, focus, like, 30 minutes on the forefathers, you know, the church fathers.
Yeah, I got that email.
The church fathers, and then, like, the heresies they face and heretics. And I think that'd be really cool because,
I got a lot of info.
I'm going through. I'm going through Steve Lawson wrote A Long Line of Godly Men. Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, broke down, you know, little snippets of church fathers and heresies they confront. And I'm like, this is awesome. And I'm like, I really like the way you explain things because you break it down so easy, you know, and I could be like, okay, you know, I tell people, oh, listen to this because, you know, some theology, you're like, oh, how do I explain it? And you hit it really good. That's why I was like, I would really enjoy if you, just take a little bit of that. I think that'd be really interesting.
Well, no problem, man. I've got a lot of stuff on the church fathers I could go through, and lot of information. So maybe, I might entertain doing that. It takes some prep time, but add it on the pile. But, yeah, maybe we'll check it out.
So, all right, well, Matt, I'm still waiting on my super job that I'm going to get so I could get your office and stuff. So don't worry, I haven't forgotten.
Okay, brother. Appreciate it, man.
You know, I'm still working temporary, so, I mean, you know, it's just...
It's all right.
I'm like, man, you know, and I really want to, you know, I listen to your podcast all the time. That's what I do at work. Since I do labor work, I can listen to my phone, to iPhone. Yeah, I listen, I'm all caught up on car and stuff, and I'm like, I really wish I could do more.
That's all right. Just just pray. Just do a lot of prayer, okay? That'd be good.
All right, thank you, Pastor. God bless.
All right, God bless, buddy. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Hey, that was Alex from California, Wilmington, and that's in the L.A. County area. And folks, if you want to call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Lee from Nampa. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Hey, I was just calling to hope you could help us plug an event that's coming up on October 29th. We are doing an all-faith hunger walk at NNU, and we're doing it in the track facility there. But
so what do you mean, All Faith Hunger Walk?
So it's people from all faiths, all churches, coming together to raise funds and food donations for Nampa area food pantries.
But, I mean, what, Mormons are joining it or what?
Yeah, there'll be people from every single religion. We've been inviting everybody. Caring for the poor and the needy is
that's important.
Is a
well, the concern
for everybody.
The concern I would have is that there'd be an inadvertent promotion of equality between in the faiths of Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, etc., with regular Christians. I mean, that's the only concern I'd have.
The cause isn't a religious cause.
Oh, it's not a religious cause.
There's no theological anything, but there is a common theme or cause that we all have. In other words,
what are you? Are you Catholic or what?
No, I'm LDS.
Ah, okay. So you're...
We're not promoting any type of religious teaching of any sort. Hmm. If you're worried about... If you're worried about whether on an event like this, it rises the status of Mormons with everybody else. I don't think anybody's going to know who is with what faith. There's just going to be a group of hopefully hundreds, if not a few thousand people show up.
And so you guys are just walking? So, doesn't walking make you hungry?
Yeah, it does. No, it'll be walking and running. There'll be lanes on the track that'll be for some people who want to walk and some people who want to run.
And so how do you get money out of this?
Well, we're asking people to donate and register per person. It's like $5 for adult, $3 for a kid. And they are getting a T-shirt that has All Faith Hunger.
Who's facilitating this?
Well, it's actually the Nampa Ministerial Association is supporting it, and all the funds will go to them. But there is a committee of made up of a bunch of different churches from the Nampa area who've been serving on a committee to kind of organize it. And there will be. We looked at doing it on a city street and whatnot, and for the first year, because we don't know how big it will be, we've decided to do it at NNU, and they've offered their facility at no charge to the group. After the activity, there will be a Nampa's largest trunk or treat for kids. So it's October 29th at 2 p.m., 2 o'clock to 4 p.m., and afterwards, there'll be a trunk or treat for kids, so they're welcome to bring their costumes.
Okay, well, you snuck it in there. That's good enough, I guess.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't promote Mormonism or Roman Catholicism, because both of those are not Christian, buddy. You ought to, yeah, I'm serious.
I mean, that's an argument for another time.
Well, call me up and we'll argue another time. Or come on to the studio. We can just talk about it.
Okay. Maybe I'll take you up on that.
Yeah. I'm a nice guy, but Mormonism's not true. All right?
Okay. That's your opinion.
It sure is. That's the opinion of God himself as revealed in the Word of God. And I can prove Mormonism false. Prove it. So if you're interested, let me know.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. All right, man.
So, bye.
Okay. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to call, the number is 877. We're getting no callers. 877-207-2276. Can I prove Mormonism is false? Yes. It's not with an opinion either. There is objective evidence to prove it's false. Absolute objective evidence. What is that evidence, you ask? Well, it's simple. When Joseph Smith lived, a man came through and he had some legitimate mummies from Egypt and Egyptian papyri. Joseph Smith, with his visionary office rights as prophet and seer, said that the papyri that this guy had, were actually the Book of Abraham, which later became Mormon scripture. So for $2,000, he used church money, and bought these papyri. Then Joseph Smith translated them from the original hieroglyphics into English, and it became scripture in the Mormon church. Now, this is what he said he did, and he did it by the power of God, the same way and by the same authority that he did the Book of Mormon. Now, the Book of Mormon can't be tested because no one has the plates. It's conveniently taken back into heaven or whatever, taken away. Now, there's no way to verify that. This is called non-falsifiability. However, the Book of Abraham papyri, they were lost, but they were rediscovered in 1966 or 7 or something like that. In the basement of a library, I forgot where. I mean, they are the very same one. There's no doubt. There's Joseph Smith's handwriting on the back of it, and I mean, it's there. It's him. The Egyptologists have now been able to translate the hieroglyphics. Now, remember, Joseph Smith said that what this document was the Book of Abraham. He said that's what it was, Book of Abraham. And by the power of God, his authority, he translated it. Now, they have the exact same document, and they can translate it for real. Has nothing to do with what Joseph Smith said. No Egyptologist has ever translated, has ever said, yeah, he was right, or even close right. They said he was so far off. It was ridiculous. This is fact. Absolute fact. This is not something that's disputable. It's fact. This means that Joseph Smith did not have any power of God. He was not a prophet, not a seer. And since he said he did the Book of Abraham the same way he did the Book of Mormon, then therefore the Book of Mormon's a fabrication. It's a lie. Simple fact. Has the Mormon Church responded to this? Oh, yeah, they responded. So you'll hear Mormons say, oh, that's been answered. Well, that's like someone saying, you know, I refuted your argument that that the car was blue by saying it was green. It's been answered. Well, do you have any pictures of it? No. Did you see it? No. But it's been answered because we said it. It's not an answer when you just offer something that makes no sense. What they've offered is, for example, take the letter O. O is a character. In some hieroglyphic systems, pictographic systems, O might mean sun, might mean a round food, it might mean pregnant. It could mean, you know, one concept. But you wouldn't get something like an O meaning, and he went down by the river and drew out a bucket of water. And then an L character might mean something like, and the birds do fly upon the sun's shadow. Okay? And what they've done is taken these same characters that are Egyptian hieroglyphics and done that with them, and saying that they have super big, deep meanings, and he just was able to see it by the eye of the spiritual realm. In other words, they're admitting it doesn't say what it says, and that to make up something that's absolutely ridiculous in order to hold their position. This means on the day of judgment, they will be judged for their willing, purposeful denial of the facts and the truth and the promotion of a lie. This is proof that Joseph Smith lied. It's one of the proofs that he was not telling the truth. It's one of the proofs that Mormonism is false. Where hence then does come the feelings? If it's not from God, where do you think it comes from? The feelings of the testimony that it's true. Where do you think it comes from? If not from God. Music means I gotta go. Hey folks, God bless. By his grace, we'll be back in the studio tomorrow and hope that you're listening then. We'll see ya. Bye.
Has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.